This is Susie Thorpe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Ah, that's Give Me All Your Loving, that ZZ Top. Brings about a lot of memories. Well, talking about memories and helping children having a lovely time, I have two very interesting guests today. Now, the former TV producer, Sorrel May, and author, and well, lots of things on, lots of hats as well for Mark Wells, Cambridge-based book called The Hidden Tales, and it takes families on a code-breaking tour of the city and its museums. Well, welcome, Sorrel, and welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Well,
thank you,
Sam. Very nice to have you here. This is a really lovely subject. I'm really excited that you came today. Thanks for coming in. I know you're very busy with lots of things going on for your big launch. But The Hidden Tales, and in particular, this book is called The Riddle of the White Sphinx, and this is one of your first of books that you're going to do.
That's right.
It's a big day for you. But tell us about Hidden Tales and how it all came about, really.
Well, I suppose about 2 years ago, I was at home, a rainy day, and my two children watching television again. And I just felt they were locked into it, and I couldn't engage with it. They weren't engaging with each other. And I thought, how could I kind of bring them out of that? And it just took me back to when I was younger, and I used to go on, we used to do treasure hunts, and particularly Easter. But I used to love doing that anyway. And then back when I was really young, there was a book called Masquerade. I don't know if any your listeners might remember this, but sort of mid-70s. And it was a UK-wide treasure hunt, and with a beautiful book, amazing illustrations. And just those two things combined, I thought maybe create a book that would get children, and not just my children, maybe other children and families out and about. And then that's when I roped Mark in, and because I thought, you know, to have an adventure story as well would be amazing.
Now, Mark, you got roped in, but I think it's been a nice journey for you, hasn't it, so far?
Yeah, it has. When Sorrel explained what she wanted to do, which is create a sort of a treasure hunt and adventure, I thought, well, we should try and do something in Cambridge first, because we both live here. We thought it'd be, you know, let's do something here and see if we can make it work. And I went and visited a whole bunch of different places in Cambridge, and I ended up in one of the museums. And I walked into this museum, and I put the headphones on to sort of have a self-guided tour. And as I walked around, it occurred to me that actually putting the headphones on sort of like cocooned me in this world. And I actually realised that that would be a really great concept for a book, which would be that two children walk into a museum, they put the headphones on for the guide, they start walking around, and then they hear a voice in the headphones that is not coming from the guide. And that was the spark of the idea. And I spent the next sort of half hour walking through the museum, and as I did so, all the artifacts started speaking to me, and that's when the sort of the idea of a treasure hunt around museums came to mind.
So this is very interesting, because you've both got interesting backgrounds that it's going to be quite successful, actually, because of your backgrounds. You've got a third lady, an illustrator as well, haven't you?
Yes, Jennifer Bell.
Yes, and she, and then they've got somebody else too, haven't you, done the book? You've got somebody.
Yes, so there's Fiona Boyd, who's based at the Cardozo Kinsey Workshop, and she has helped us create the code, sort of almost like a hieroglyphic code that needs to be cracked. And she is also designing some ink stamps that will go in the back of the book.
Right, so let's talk about the book here, because it has been described as the Da Vinci Code for children. Mystery, finding things. Now, it's also been said that it's actually getting the children pulling the parents around. So that's what you're trying to get at. Yes. So why is it described as the Da Vinci Code? What is it all about?
So what happens is the children, the voice that speaks to the children in the museums has come from another world, and that world is the world of secrets. And the voice is from a real historical character who's left an item in that museum. And because they were so attached to that item, when they moved on from our world, they couldn't let it go, and they got trapped in the world of secrets. And the world of secrets is ruled over by this character called the Keeper of Secrets. And the Keeper of Secrets doesn't want them to escape, and they want to escape. And the people who can help them escape are the two children. And the children go on a quest around the museums. And what makes the book slightly different is that actually the readers can complete the quest too. They can actually go on the same trail as the children and solve those puzzles and basically crack the riddle of the White Sphinx.
And who devised the riddle? Who was the person who devised the riddle?
That was me, really.
I spent
hours and hours thinking up various levels of things that we could do. And we've tested it as well. We took the first chapter and the first sketch from Jenny and some of the code from Fiona, and we went to three schools last year, and we ran that pilot in those three schools. We ran a couple of lessons. It was a literacy lesson and an illustration cracking lesson and co-cracking lesson, both designed by my son, who's a primary school teacher, so it's a real family affair. And then and we ran those, and the children loved it, absolutely loved it. The teachers loved it too, and as a result, two of the schools then went and actually organised museum visits to that particular museum from that chapter. So then we realised we were onto something and decided we'd put in an application to the Arts Council to fund it.
Yeah, that's important, actually. You've got some Arts Council funding, which is wonderful, isn't it?
That just shows
you that it's a great idea and it's a great concept.
Well, we weren't sure. I mean, it was one of the museums who suggested that maybe we should apply. I think they understood more than we did the link with museums and schools, and it was really important to us that the museums were sort of central, that we were bringing new audiences to the museums, because they do amazing things in their own right, and at no point are we suggesting they don't. It's just we thought if we could get people through the doors of the museums, then they can take over. You know, if we give them a visit, then it's like, oh, and then look what's here and what's there, and so, you know, that's also one of our key aims.
Now, as I said before, this is the first of many books, The Riddle of the White Sphinx. Are you ahead of yourselves and thinking about the next one, or is this so consuming then, and so exciting, actually, isn't it?
Well, to be honest, we said to the Arts Council, we'll do it in Cambridge and see how it goes. And if it goes well, we would love to do it in more cities. But I think what we're hoping to see is, you know, do the children engage with it? And if they do, and if they go to the museums and drag their parents along, then I think that is something that we could do in many more places than Cambridge. That's our hope, anyway.
And I particularly like the idea that you mentioned just before we went on air, that it is quite gender neutral in the sense that you can individually identify to the characters.
Yeah.
It kicks actually all the culture stereotypical moments, which is quite important, isn't it?
I think so. I think when we were talking to Jennifer Bell, the illustrator, we both felt it was important. We didn't want the children featured in the pictures. You know, that's something that was crucial. And their parents that come in there as well. But I think Mark, and, you know, he will give a bit more sense of this, but, you know, that the parents aren't sort of named as such. We wanted every reader to sense this could be me.
Yes, and in describing the two children, really, the story is seen through the eyes of the two children, but you don't actually see the children in the story. So you can, as a reader, hopefully you can imprint on the perspective of the children, because it could be anyone. And the names of the children, Leo and Nina, we chose those names because, I mean, they have a certain meaning as well. Leo is brave, and Nina is bit of a dreamer, but she's also very strong.
Yeah, warrior.
Yeah, that's what they're meaning. And we wanted that sort of really describes almost the personality of the two children rather than their background or whatever.
That's fantastic. I really like that. Now, equally as important is what's so nice about Cambridge is the museums are free. And
yes,
that is equally as important, isn't it? And I suppose that helped.
Very, very much so. And I remember talking to a teacher when we were doing our sort of investigation, seeing if it might work. And one of the teachers said she heard a parent and a child talking outside a museum where the child was saying, no, we can go in, Mum. And the mother was saying, no, I don't think we can. You know, we'll probably have to pay. And she was saying how she loved taking her school children to the museum. So, yeah, I think the fact that they're free and easily accessible. Great.
And are we allowed to know a little bit about what happens in the book and just how does it, I mean, because you're going to be launching the book at Sedgwick Museum on the 29th of June, and you've got a huge amount of events happening after that. And this is all to access the book and start the adventure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the way the so in terms of the storyline, I think there's two stories actually go on. There's the story really in our world, which occurs in the museums when the children go to the different museums trying to find a hidden. But then there's also a story that's going on in the world of secrets, because The first character that the children encounter is a girl, and she gets one of her colleagues, who's called Brave Bird, who's another historical character, and Brave Bird has to contact the other hidden who are going to reveal themselves in the museums. And so these two storylines go on, and actually the way the book works is actually it's a really exciting and thrilling adventure story. So, you know, even if you don't go to the museums, you're going to love the book.
Excellent.
But the great thing is you can actually participate as well.
Now, I also have put here, because I think this is fantastic, Mark, you were the former chief executive of Games Workshop. So it's great that you've been doing this, because you can show you're completely enthused by this, aren't you?
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, when I was a student at Cambridge, I was studying law, but actually I spent most of my time in Heffer's Children's Bookshop, and I've always been fascinated by fantasy, particularly things like C.S. Lewis and The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. So to have an opportunity to create a portal into a fantasy world was just fantastic.
And Sorrel, being a TV producer, you're actually producing probably some very exciting stuff for us all, aren't you?
Well, I must say, the thing that I loved about working television production was bringing people together and, you know, greater than the sum of the parts. And that's what this has been. You know, in initially talking to Mark, and then, you know, Jennifer came on board. And actually, it's been a really local thing. We're printing, you know, only 50 miles away in Suffolk. You know, it's Cambridgeshire, maybe slightly beyond. But that was a really important thing as well. And it's been wonderful to, you know, the museums have been so supportive. So, yeah, it's been a great collaboration.
Oh, I hope you do it in other cities as well. It sounds very exciting. Let's talk about the Sedgwick. So it's Sedgwick on the 29th of June, and then you've got launch at Heffer's as well. Do you want to just give us a little bit more detail about that?
Well, on the 29th of June, which we hope your listeners will come along to, it's because of sort of numbers and it being a museum, the tickets are free, but people have to register. So through our website, and that's hiddentales.co.uk. And we're going to have maybe a mini sort of treasure map that people can kind of see if they can work out where the hidden artifact is, and that could win a book. You'll obviously meet the team. Fitzbillies have been amazing. We're going to have a tower of Chelsea buns, because they're featured in the story as well. And Jennifer Bell, who will be there, and she'll do a masterclass of sort of her illustrations. And then other events sort of going on through the summer. And on our website, we kind of list what's there. And, you know, we hope people will come out and join us.
And apart from it being very hard work, because it does seem hard work when you do something new, have you had fun doing it?
Yeah, I think the thing I've really enjoyed is working with an illustrator like Jenny, because she is just so creative. But also actually working with the schools and the museums. Mm. I mean, the schools, where I'm doing author readings in over 20 schools in and around the launch. And the ones we've done so far, I mean, it's just lovely seeing how the children react to it. And the other thing we notice is that when they visit the museum, even if they've been to a museum before, once they've read that chapter and they visit the museum, they visit in a completely different way. They are so energised. They are, I mean, they're looking at it not as a museum, but actually as a place of adventure. Mm. And that is really exciting when you see that happen.
You mentioned, do they have an audio to go with this then, or not?
So no, the way it works is you walk in with your book, and the book will actually basically guide you through where to look for the clues. But there are a few red herrings in the story and the illustrations as well. So you really have to work. If you work as a team, it's probably a lot easier.
So as you quite rightly said, it is the Da Vinci Code for children. It sounds really exciting, and I wish you all the very best. And I really hope that you will go on to other cities too.
Thanks.
But very importantly, we have to have Cambridge first. I mean, this is all about Cambridge.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Very nice to have you here.